So I want to talk to you. Several weeks ago, I talked about grit, and we found this wonderful lady, and she was a school teacher, and she got and she saw in her students that excelled, and then she saw students that didn't excel. But what she noticed was very interesting. She noticed some of these students that excelled, they weren't the smartest students. And some of the students that didn't excel were some of her sharpest, brightest, smartest students. And she recognized there is something way more important than intelligence as far as moving forward in life. And so that really just became a quest for her. And she went back to school and she got her, she became a doctor and became a sociologist. And she started to research this, and she found that the key ingredient in someone really having a life that thrived was one thing, something she called grit. Somebody say grit. Grit. But then it was so interesting because as she had done all this research, she was honest, and she said, remember the video? She said, but we're not sure how somebody gets it. We're not sure why some people have it and some people don't. And I said to you, and I'll repeat to you today, if she was here, I'd say, I know why people have it. I know why people don't. Because what I've found is predominantly the understanding that God is on your side. He's someone that's real. Listen, the most gritty people that I've ever met are Christian people. So today I thought, you know what, as I was praying, I thought, you know what, I now want to speak to you guys about leadership. Somebody say leadership. Leadership. I said, but Pastor, are you kidding me? You know what, I graduated from Pioneer High School. I'm not a leader. Well, listen, be careful that you curse Pioneer High School. Amen. But see, I don't care what high school you went to. I don't care what high school you graduated from. I don't even care if you didn't graduate from high school. You know, I don't care what your family background is. It doesn't make any difference. So many of us think, you know what, that we can't move forward because of what our past is. That's just Satan lying to you. He's a liar. He'll lie all day long. Amen?
That's right.
It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. And understand this, we're all called to lead. I said, we're all called to lead. See, listen, fathers. You're called to lead your son into purity. Ooh. Listen, fathers, you're called to lead your sons into purity. How many know it's a crazy world? You know what? There's a pornography store, you know what? In the back pockets of literally all our high schoolers and junior hires. Let me tell you, fathers, you gotta step forward. You gotta step up to the plate. You gotta be honest with your sons. You know, and you got to teach them purity. You got to teach them, you know what, that you're loyal. You know what, that you honor your their mom,
yes.
Your wife.
Yes.
And not just when she's around, but when she's not around.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, you're called to lead. You say, well, no, Pastor, I'm not. No, you're a leader.
That's right.
Amen. Moms, you're called to lead your kids. Lead your daughters. You know what I mean? They need to live pure life. Amen? And they got all these people around. No, you can't teach. You know, teenagers, they just, that's how they are. They're just going to, you know what? No. Says who? See, we got to stand up and say, no. Listen, we know a lot of teenagers who say, you know, I tell you what, I'm not going to have sex till I get married. That's when I'm going to have sex. Yeah, Pastor, but it's too late for me. No. I can virginize you today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'll virginize you today.
Amen.
Amen. See, today is, and who hasn't done some crazy, stupid things in their past? We've all done, but today is the first day of the rest of our life. Amen. But moms, dads, we're called to be an example. Grandparents, you know what? Even great grandparents, you're called. What about at work? You're called to be leaders at work. You know what? I wanted to go into the grocery store. You know what? And for years, you know, worked in the grocery store for 25 years. And you know what? There was such a stronghold of negativity. You know what's going on? Oh, you know what? I hate my job. I can't wait till I get off work. You know what? The number one question in the grocery store, when are you off? I'm serious. Number one question. Second question. When is your break? That's how they were. You know what I mean? That's how it was. You know, and I would come into work, and the joy of the Lord was my strength. I was leading people at work. You're leading people wherever you are. See, here's what the Bible says. You say, yeah, but the Bible says that God is, that Jesus was the light of the world. Yes, but Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Jesus, if you're born again, Jesus lives inside of you. See, he's called you to lead your families. He's called you to lead these people. These people, listen, they're not bad people. We don't need to get self-righteous and think we're better than somebody else. But we need to recognize they need help. Amen? The more God you have in your life, the better your life's going to be. The more Jesus you have in your life, the better your life's going to be. And the less Jesus you have in your life, I'm just telling you what, the worse your life is going to be. And the world says, no, 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 you can find satisfaction in this and that and this, all this stuff. Well, you know what? Just listen to that great theologian, Mick Jagger. Right? Mick Jagger teaches us, right? No, no, no. There is no satisfaction. Is that not right?
That's right.
He tried. Right? And he tried, right? And what did he do? What did he do, Shayla? He tried. But what did he come with? I can't get no. No, no, no. Right? Hey. You know what? And you know the truth is, from the heart, the mouth speaks. You know what? There is no satisfaction except in Jesus Christ. And you got to go into your work. You got to go into your schools. You got to go into the places that you are. You know what? And you are bringing them. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, let your light shine. Don't put it under. We don't put that down low where nobody can see. We put that light on a lampstand. Yeah, why? We are not ashamed. Paul says this. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the wholeness unto salvation. Yeah. Salvation meaning sozo, the word sozo. You know what? It means God is, Paul says this. He says, let me tell you why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I will preach, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. You know, we live in a weird, interesting place right now. Do we not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. People feel like they got to be, you know, well, you know, there is a great deal of backlash against Christians. They get mad at us because we say there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. Well, we didn't say it. You say, yeah, but the Bible says you shouldn't judge. Amen, hallelujah. It's true, we shouldn't judge. Read it in your Bible. You shouldn't judge. You should say, God is the judge. And what he says right is right. And what he says is wrong is wrong. Oh, I've never looked at it that way. Well, that's the way it was written. That God says, no, there is only one lawgiver. And that's God. But you know that. And your calling is to take what God has given you and to shine it around other people. And is everybody going to accept it? No, not everybody's going to accept it. But there will be people just like Joel, who was invited to the church by someone, and he came, and during praise and worship, he recognized, listen, there's people all over, and all they need to be is introduced to the real Jesus. The real Jesus. You say, yeah, but my life isn't an example. You know what? No, no, no. Listen, you're doing a lot better than you think you are doing. See, there's all kinds of, you know what, the media, if you watch television and all this junk, whenever they talk about Christianity, whenever they talk about pastor, you know, a pastor, he's always hypocritical, buffoonish. The most dorky person on, you know what I mean, whenever. And usually, he's a hypocrite. Wow. Well, they write that in the script. I'm not saying there's not pastors that are hypocritical. But most pastors I know, I tell you what, they are sincere men that are trying to do everything they can to serve God and serve their communities. And most people coming to church, They'll mock you and make you feel like you know what, you can't do anything right. Let me tell you what, at least you're trying. Amen. And you recognize that you're not perfect, but you're here because you recognize, man, I need help. See, those are the kind of people that I want to be around. And those are the people that, listen, even in your imperfection, you show up to work, you show up to your school, and listen, and they can see Jesus through you. You're going to bring Jesus to them. Why? Because you're a leader. So stop thinking you're not a leader, because you are a leader. People are looking at you all the time. So I want to spend just, listen, I won't talk a long time, but I want to talk a little bit about what leadership looks like. I said I want to talk a little bit about what leadership looks like. Okay. Come on. I want to talk about what a real leader looks like. Number one, a real leader is spiritual. Say, a real leader is spiritual. Now, you say, yeah, but I know a lot of people that are great leaders and they don't even believe in God. Well, let me say this, and I say this humbly. I say this, I want to be respectful, but I would just say this. What are they building? What are they building? You know, really think about it. If I build a great building, but in 5 years it crumbles, who cares? You know, who cares that the, you know, I mean, who cares that the Dodgers were, you know, won the, what did they win? Exactly. What did they win? No, what they won something. What they won their division. Who cares? Is that not right? I mean, really, who cares about that? No. Who cares if something is built, but later on it just crumbles? You know, the Bible says everything that we do is going to be thrown into fire. And that which is done, which is selfish, and you know what, isn't about building the kingdom of God, it's all going to get burned up. Yeah. See, listen to me. Spiritual, real leaders, they understand there's a real God. Amen. And they tap into that reality and they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Real. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about fake people. I'm not talking about what the world thinks. Ooh, they're a great leader. No. Real leadership is someone who understands that God is real. Number one. Number two, real leaders. Well, let me show you a passage. This is a great passage before we move on. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand. Next verse, look what it says. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on this earth. See, real leadership recognizes, watch this, there's something higher than just down here. I mean, real leaders, that's what they are. They are spiritual. And they understand that this realm is real. These other people that won't even recognize this realm, oh my goodness, that's so crazy. Because whether you recognize it or whether you don't, the spiritual realm is real. I'm going to say that again. Whether you recognize it or whether you don't, the spiritual realm is real. Amen? I mean, remember Armstrong gave us a great example. You know, there was a day where in the science books, they said that the sun was the biggest planet. The biggest planet, star, biggest star. I mean, you know, if I told you that today, you'd go, oh, Pastor's an idiot. He don't even know. You know what I mean? They found stars now that are, you know what, 300 times the size of the sun. Wow. See, all I'm saying is there's people who walking around and they call themselves leaders and they think the spiritual realm isn't real. No. There's a whole realm that they're not tapping into. Real leaders are first spiritual. They set their, and not only that, but they set their minds on the things that are above. They're not just interested with the things of this earth, but they recognize there's more important things. Amen. Number one. Number two, spiritual leaders, real leaders take initiative. Say take initiative. So they see a problem and they try to fix that problem. You know, the reality is that's true in all our lives. We have who doesn't have situations in your life that need to be fixed? Is that not right? We need to look around and say, no, let me tell you what, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to be the one who steps up to the plate. You know, Eric sees that our city could be better. Well, he could sit around and go, man, I hope you do something. I hope you do something. No, I hope I do something. Amen? What is my responsibility? You say the same thing in your families. Why is my family so jacked up? Well, hey, Jackson, why don't you start fixing it? Amen? Come on. Start recognizing you can bring something to the table. You can fix it. I love David. David in 1 Samuel 17:36. Look what he says. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. He's saying, hey, whoa. All his brothers are back behind the rocks. All the army of Israel won't go out and fight it. Goliath is out there defiling God, mocking God and the things of God. And David's like, not on my watch. No, this isn't going to happen. He's taking initiative. He sees something that is wrong, and he's going to fix it. He said, Pastor, I can't fix everything. Well, yeah, you can't fix everything, but you can fix what God puts in front of you. Is that not right? David, when he was watching the sheep, you know what? And his father came to him and said, hey, David, you know what? Made him some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know what I mean? And said, you know what? Take these to your brother.
Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't peanut butter and jelly. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was. He said, take these. All David was doing was just taking this food to his brothers. And in the midst of him walking, taking this food to his brothers, he sees Goliath starting to be disrespectful towards the things of God. And he's saying, I tell you what, and his brother, you know, the whole army won't do anything about it. You know, sometimes we look around and say, well, you know what, they're not doing anything. Who cares what they're doing? You do what you're called to do. You step up to the plate. You know what, you start to say, no, I'll tell you what, I see this problem, I'm going to fix the problem. Why? Because that's what leaders do. Real leadership takes initiative. They look at a problem, they say, hey, you know what, how can we fix this? Listen, I can't fix everyone. I can't figure everything out. But you know what I can do? I can give platelets to Granny.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, you're just trying to get us to give platelets to Granny. Oh, you're deep. Amen. You're deep. You're deep. Yeah, because you know what? I believe a church, you know what, should really care about people in the church. And that caring should be much more than just a bunch of talk out of our mouths. Amen. Am I still smiling?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it just should be. You know, Granny has received probably about, at this point, probably at least 50 bags, maybe 100 bags of platelets. And as I sat there this week, and, you know, they were taking platelets out of my blood for Granny, I thought, wow. And it takes about 2 hours. And I thought, who are these awesome people? Yeah, you give blood, it takes like, whatever, 10 minutes or so. But you get platelets, takes 2 hours. And as I sat there, I thought, who are these awesome people that I don't even know who gave, Granny doesn't even know, who gave platelets to Granny? You know, there's some cool people all around us. And what are they doing? They don't even know who she is. What are they doing? They're leading. They're saying, you know what, I tell you what, when I was there, Tamara was still giving her platelets. And And I looked on the wall, and they had all these people who'd given 400 times, 600 times, 500 times. It's like, wow. What are they doing? Are they doing everything? And they're not doing everything. They're just doing something that's right in front of them. See, that's what leadership does. Leadership just takes initiative. Leadership just bends down and picks up a piece of paper and throws it away. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because that's right in front of you. Yes. Leaders just say, you know what? Oh, pastor, you need some help in the preschool? Let me help you. Listen, here. Did I tell you what happens? Did I tell you how we run our kids' ministry? You know what? We recognize everybody wants to be in the service. So we put all the kids in the back rooms, and then we lock them up and say, throw a bunch of candy at them and say, hey, have fun. We'll be back in a while. You know what I mean? I mean, no, we don't do that. Please don't quote me. That's not what we do. Listen, we have gracious people who right now, they're serving your kids. Why? Because they're, you know why? Because they took initiative. Because they said, no, we're not just going to come to church and leave. We're going to do what we want to happen in this church. It's one of the reasons we have two services, because we want to teach you to sit and to serve. But that takes initiative. Tamara and I aren't back there, you know, twisting their arm and giving them you do this. No. They're just doing it because they want to do it. See, leadership just says, this is what I'm going to do. And listen, like David, you know, how many know like David sometimes? See, many times what we do is we'll serve if it's easy. Hello, we'll serve if it's easy. But what if it's not easy? Amen? What if the pay is not good? Amen? I said, what if the pay is not good? What if there is no pay? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we've got to understand serving takes initiative, and like David, sometimes the thing that is put before us isn't an easy thing. Nobody was. How many know it's hard to do something when nobody else thinks it can be done? Why do you think all those guys were behind the rocks hiding from Goliath? Because they thought, you know what? How many know if you're betting, amen? You know, how many know odds in Vegas wouldn't be good for David? Come on, somebody. No way. David said, I don't care what the odds are. I care what has to be done, and I'm going to do it. And I don't even went to the king. I don't even care if the king won't do it. Even if he does, even, you know, you'd think the king would be a leader, right?
That's right.
Oh, this will preach. I'm just saying. We have a, oh my goodness. You be disciplined to be a leader. And recognize, listen, just do what's in front of you. Listen, can I tell you what? You're not going to do some great thing if you can't do something little. Amen? How many know God is looking to raise people up who will walk in? You know, if you're faithful in the little things, that's when you get promotion from the Lord. Amen? Like, Pastor, you know what? If I was just, you know what? No. Just do the little things. Watch how God will promote you. Amen?
Amen.
Number one, spiritual leaders are spiritual. Real leaders are spiritual. Number two, real leaders take initiative. Number three, watch this. Real leaders are patient. Remember what Galatians said? Galatians says, let us not grow weary in doing good. Somebody say, don't grow weary. Watch this. For in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. Real leaders are patient. So everybody say, real leaders, are patient. See, we live in the microwave society. We live in a microwave world. We live in a world that somebody probably got promoted at GTE for coming up with the popcorn, what? GE. Popcorn button. How many remember when you didn't have a popcorn button? Some of you are even too young. You don't even remember. My microwave always had a popcorn button. Okay, that's because you're too young. But there was this day where you used to get a microwave and it didn't have a popcorn button. And you had to press, you know what, 300. Start. And some genius said, man, that just takes way too long. Let's just get a popcorn button. Just press popcorn. See, and that is engulfed in who we are. You know what I mean? But let me tell you what, real leadership recognize. Sometimes it's going to take some time to get what God has called you to do done. Listen, when the outdoor project is built, you know what, it's not going to take a lot of vision to figure it out. Amen? It doesn't take a lot of vision to figure that out. It's before it's built. After, I don't know what it was. I don't know exactly what it was. But after 3 months of talking to you about the outdoor project, we'd probably raise less than $10,000. Well, the project, just for the structure, is going to be about $330,000. So at $10,000, after 3 months, you could look at me and go, Pastor, what are you talking about? But see, real leadership is patient. Here, let's talk about developing people. Listen, it takes time to develop people. It takes time to develop people. You have to be patient because you have to tell them it and tell them again and tell them again and show it to them. You know, we have this wonderful intern program. It's wonderful intern, and I love the interns. But you know how many mistakes the interns make? See, some of you don't want to say amen. No, they make, you know, it's so. And listen, and we're all still making mistakes. Is that not right? But love is patient, and good leadership is patient. Can I tell you a funny story? Did you see that crazy a guy who was cutting down that tree in that video? Man, Pastor, that looked a lot like you. No, that wasn't. Okay. Anyway, but I was concerned with that tree hitting the building. How many know that wouldn't have been a good day? Amen? Pastor, what were you thinking? So I did what they said. I put this big, you put a wedge. So when you put the wedge where you want it to fall, and then you cut it on the other side, and then it falls that way. But when we were doing it, I thought, man, what if I'm wrong? You know what I mean? How many know this is not, guys, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Just, you know what? We have a bigger interest today. Amen? Okay. So how many know that wouldn't have been a good thing for me? Or you, right? So I told Josh, hey Josh, let's grab a rope, put it around the tree, and if it starts to fall the wrong way, just pull it. Hey, how many know sometimes we're just stupid? Like, I don't even know. It was, so I watched the video and I just laugh because as the tree is falling, he's there with that rope and watch him. It just leads him. You know what? He weighs like 180 pounds. That tree weighs like whatever, 4 tons. Like he's gonna, ooh, change the direction of the tree. It's so stupid. Okay. So what I'm saying is, do all of us not do stupid things? Wow. Listen to me. Do all of us not do stupid things? Yeah. And does good leadership, you know what, see past those stupid things to the potential that other people have? Amen. I'll say that again. Does good leadership see past those stupid things that people are going to do to the potential that they have? Yeah. Thus, good leaders are patient. We have to be. We have to say, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to continue to do it until it happens. Yes. Amen. Past the all the imperfections that happen in life. Good leaders are patient. Good leaders moves the ball forward. We are going to move the ball forward. We're going to move the ball forward. We're going to move. Yeah, but everything's not perfect. I know, but we're going to move the ball forward. Yeah, but you got to deal with it. I know, but we're going to move the ball forward. Well, listen. You know why I cut those trees? We're not going to do the project until January. What are you cutting the trees now down for? Exactly. Because I am moving the ball forward. See, I want you guys to look at it and go, whoa. Oh, I get it. Watch this. It's going to go 3,000 square foot. How many of 3,000 square foot is a big space? I want you to go outside and go, oh, I see it. Amen. What am I doing? I'm moving the ball forward. I'm doing what I know to do. We got a chainsaw. I get the chainsaw working. I ask some guy how to cut the tree down. You know what? Thank God I didn't totally blow. Blew it a little bit, but didn't totally blow. It came way closer to the church than I wanted. But praise God. Anyway. And I know you would forgive me even if we had a big hole in our church. I'll give it another chance to say amen. I know you would forgive me. Amen. Oh, man. Our pastor's crazy. You know, and he was cutting down the tree the other day. But we still love him. Amen. Okay. But here's what am I doing. I'm very conscious. Good leadership is conscious to move the ball forward and to help other people get on board to recognize, listen, we've got to. It's not just I need to move the ball forward. It's we've got to move the ball forward. And maybe, you know what, maybe, you know, I obviously I can't do this. You know what I mean? I can't go to, you know, there's going to be these huge steel columns that we're going to get. You know, I can't go to the steel guy. Hey, put these on the church van. You know, put them up there. You know what I mean? Can't tell me and Josh. Hey, Josh, you know, Joel, come on. We're going to get those. You know, no, I can't do that. But can I cut down a tree that will help you see that we're going to move the ball forward? That this thing isn't just an imaginary. Listen, we've got $163,000 of people who've been willing, of monies who has been given, that this thing can happen. Oh, I'm telling you what, we're going to see it. But that's what good leadership does. You know what? Hey, listen, fathers, move the ball forward. You know what I mean? Yeah, but my wife, man, she just is freaking out all the time. Hey, well, there's this thing in your house. It's called a vacuum. Amen? It's called a vacuum. And here's a thought. Why don't you get the vacuum out and, you know what, and help, you know what, your wife to chill out a little bit. Why don't you move the ball forward by just vacuuming the house so when she gets up, there's one less thing that she has to say, I got to take care of before I go to bed. You understand what I'm saying? Just be a leader. See a problem and start to fix it. Just good leadership moves the ball forward. Yeah, but I can't do it. No, you don't have to do everything. But can you get the vacuum out? Yeah. Of course you can. Yeah. You know, kids, young kids, you know, here's a crazy thought. Here's a crazy thought. Why don't you clean your room without your mom asking? Ooh, that's a crazy thought. Man, I wouldn't want to do that. I'd put her into, you know, dissidence. She'd just freak out. Whoa. No, she'd be happy. Amen. Yeah, there it is. No, really, guys. See, you. Listen to me. Listen to me, young kids. This is a practical thing you can do. Amen. See? And you're called to lead, too. Amen. Amen. You know what? Wash your car. Here, wash your dad's car. Here, empty the trash for your dad. Do something. Amen. Be a leader. Help move the ball forward. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Do the dishes. Yeah. Amen. Pastor, now you're over the top. Amen. good leaders move the ball forward. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Look at this. So good. As is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, he gave life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amen. See, good leadership sees something that isn't and says, it's going to happen. Yes. That's what God does. He didn't look at the darkness and say, whoa, what are we going to do? It is dark in here. You know what I mean? No, he says, let there be what? Light. Everything that you see, God said here. He spoke the things that are not as though they were. That's how real leaders do it. Amen. Yes. Yeah, but my marriage isn't perfect. Well, stop complaining about your marriage and start making it different. Amen. Yeah, but my wife is, stop talking about your wife in the negative and start seeing what a wonderful, wonderful wife she is. Amen. Stop complaining about your husband and start to honor him. Amen. Ladies, do I got to show you? Do I got to show you, ladies? Listen, get your pom-poms back out. Amen. Come on, ladies. I got your D, I got your D. I got your A, I got your A. I got your D, I got your D. Daddy, daddy, he's home. Daddy, daddy, he's home. Daddy, daddy, he's home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? How about that? Amen? Right? Come on, why not? Why not? Change the situation. Don't real leadership see something that is not, and says, that's how I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to change this situation. Listen, anybody can call the things that it is as though it is, but it's a whole different thing to call the things that are not as though they are. Amen. That's what God does. Amen. And that's what our calling is to do. Yes. We are here to make a difference. And you can't do it by, if all you're doing is saying, oh, you know, oh me, oh my, then you're never going to change. You're never going to change. Your calling is to make a difference in the world. You're here to make a difference. How are you going to do that? the dominion on this earth was given to you. You're a son of a man. That's what the Bible teaches, tells you. That the dominion is given to the sons of men. How many got a daddy? How many got a daddy? If you don't have your hand up, you're asleep. Amen. How many know we all have a daddy? Listen, this is deep. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have a daddy. It's impossible. That's who the Bible says is to take dominion on the earth. That power has been given to the sons of men. Listen, you're not hopeless. You have the ability to change situations in your life, but you got to step up to the plate. How do you do that? With the power of the Word of God. Homologeo. What's that mean? That's a Greek word that says, start saying what God says. Amen? Amen. Don't say what the enemy says. Say what God says. Amen. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen. The Bible says, God, he says, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen? I love the example. I love the example. I love it. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. It's the guy who can't see. And he hears Jesus. And he starts to shout. That was scream and shout at the same time. He starts to scrout. And he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And all the people, because that's how they're going to do. They're going to tell you, no, don't believe it. Don't say it. Sit down. Just take a seat. I love what he says. I love what the Bible says. So he screamed all the louder. See, you know why the Israelites got delivered? You know why they got delivered? The Bible tells you why. You know why? Because they cried out to God.
See, God will help us if we'll cry out to him and say, hey, even in leadership, God, help me with my family. Help me be a better wife. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better, whatever it is. Help me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So what is he? He cries out even louder. And Jesus, I love Jesus' response. What's Jesus' response? Whoa, stop. I just gotta stop. I just gotta stop. Why? Because I'm committed. Because anyone who knocks, Jesus said, the door will be open. Anyone who seeks will find. Anyone who asks, you know what? I'm gonna answer them. This guy, you know what, said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Watch what he does. And then he tells these guys that are telling him to shut up, hey, I'm going to tell you guys what to do. You get him and bring him over here.
Yeah, bring him over. Yeah, come on.
Amen.
Come on. Amen.
And then I love this part of the story. Then he comes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus. And Jesus asks him this crazy, crazy awesome question. What do you want me to do for you?
Come on. Amen.
What does he say? He doesn't say, you know what, I just can you make my house more easy for me to get around? Can you make it like, you know, whatever? You know, I need a Bible. I need a Bible in Braille. Can you give me a Braille Bible? Saying, listen, and all of us are tempted to back off. All of us are tempted to, instead of going for it, just saying, well, but what if God won't? This guy just goes for it. He says, no, let me tell you what. Here's what I want. I want that I could see.
Yes. Amen.
I want to see. See, in a way, asking God for things that are, watch this, that are impossible naturally. How do you think God works? He's a supernatural God. He works supernaturally all the time. Why don't we start asking, start just believing for the supernatural to say, God, you know what? Why not? Why not me?
Yes.
Why not us?
That's right. Come on.
No, we have favor. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to us. The Bible says in Romans, if he gave his Son, what won't he give to us? And we're like, oh, well, maybe I better not. Pastor, you need to back off. We don't need to back off. We need to encourage people to start believing for the supernatural things of God. That's what this guy did. That's what this guy did. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. That's what the woman with the issue of blood did. That's what the guy did who said, Jesus, you don't even have to come to the house. Just speak a word. You know, Jesus just like, whoa. You the man. I'm paraphrasing. King James says, I think he says, he marveled. I tell you what, Jesus was impressed with someone who was willing to say, you don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is speak a word. You know what pleases God? The Bible says, do you know what pleases God? Faith pleases God. Just trusting in God. That's what leadership is. Leadership is to see something that isn't and say, hey, it's going to happen. You're sitting in that right now. You are sitting in that right now. You're sitting in what used to be wall here, you know what, top here, nothing like this. You know what? You were sitting in it. But thank God for someone, for a group of people who had vision. And not just talk about it, but put their money where their mouth is. Amen. Amen. And was willing to invest in it. A crazy vision. But now we are able to minister to 40% more people. And we're able to give the North Sanctuary now over to the kids' ministry. You should have seen it Wednesday. Oh, my. If you miss Wednesday, I shed a tear for you. It was absolute. We had this what did we call it? Following Jesus party. It was outstanding. And all kinds of kids got ministered to the love of Jesus. Amen. They took that whole place. It was the bomb. Yes. It was so awesome. Decorated the whole thing. It was fabulous. And look what we have. Why? Because we were willing to see something that wasn't and say, it's going to happen. That's what God does. And that's what real leadership does. Real leadership doesn't look at how jacked up your family is and say, man. I mean, that's what most people do. They just say, man, my family's so jacked up. My family's so jacked up. My family's so my family. And they talk about it. And then they get to other people. You think your family's jacked up. You saw my family. It's like this race to whose family's more jacked. My family's more jacked than yours. Family's jacked. And they'll talk about it for 30 minutes. Well, hey, here's a thought. Here's a thought. Shutteth thou moutheth. Just a thought. But why don't you, here, let me get biblical with you. What does the Bible say? Out of your mouth shouldn't come blessings. Do you know this? James says, shouldn't be that. Out of your mouth shouldn't come blessings and cursings. Stop cursing your life. Stop cursing your family. Stop cursing your body. Stop cursing your finance. Stop cursing, you know, your kids and your grandkids. Yeah, but this is, hey, who cares? Start to be a visionary. Start to see things that are not. Amen. And say, that's how they're going to be. Yes. Amen. That's how come there's going to be a day that you're going to walk outside. Yeah. Like? You're going to walk outside. Hey, y'all going to walk outside. And you know what? And it's going to be a blessing. Because you're going to be inside, but you're going to be outside all at the same time. I'm gonna put one of those hot dogs with the bacon wrapped around it. And I'm gonna say, today's a new day. Amen. How many see it? How many see it? I said, how many see it? It's not there. How many see your life changing? How many see your family getting better? How many see situations, your workplace getting, you know what? Change it, man. Don't just keep on complaining. Change it. That's what real leadership does. Amen. Are you learning something? Real leaders, you know, they don't allow others or circumstance to derail them. One person said this, the task of a leader is to get their people from where they are to where they have not been. From where they are to where they have not been. That's real leadership. You know what I mean? And you're not going to do that by looking at circumstances. Because you know what you're always going to have? You're always going to have the naysayers. You're always going to have the people, no, you can run, but you'll never make it. You know, you'll never be able to do it. You'll never, no, you can't run a business. No, your marriage is never going to, all these people, and you have to learn to say, no, I don't, you've got to get above the trap. Remember the passage in Colossians? Set your mind on the things above. What's above? There's this God, and he works in the supernatural, and he says, hey, with me, all things are possible. Amen. And you start to see things in a different place. And many times, you know what? The majority will tell you you can't ever change the situation you're in. I mean, no, the majority is usually wrong. They're usually wrong. And we don't, listen to me very carefully, we don't ever want to be in a condescending mode. We don't ever want to act like we're more superior than other people. We always want to stay, it's one of my points I'll get to in a minute, in a spirit of humility. But listen, you can't listen to the naysayers. You can't allow tough situations to convince you that it's not going to happen. Because you're going to have problems. Any situation, you're going almost all situations, you're going to have difficulties. Amen? Amen? We had all kinds of difficulties building this place. All kinds of difficulties. But so what? We're going to figure the why? Because good leadership just moves the ball forward. That's all it does. Just moves the ball forward. And pretty soon, that which you couldn't see all of a sudden is. And people go, oh, you know, then they'll get on your bandwagon, right? Then, oh, I knew what was going to happen. I knew it was. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, whatever.
Amen. Amen. Number six, a real leader is confident but willing, but has a willingness to listen to others. A leader is confident, but watch this. He has a willingness to listen to others. Listen, be careful when you think you know everything. The Bible says, pride comes before a fall. Or pride comes before destruction. And a heady spirit before a fall. Pride comes before destruction. See, listen, God has gifted me. God has gifted Tamara. But guess what? So many of the great ideas that have come out of this church has not come from Tamara and I. It's come from you guys, from leaders in the church, from people who just said, hey, Pastor, I was thinking, why don't you try this? Why don't you do that? And there's got to be, listen, that doesn't mean that every person that comes to you, you say, oh, we got to do that. You know what I mean? Because you can't be manipulated that way. You've got to be a strong leader and say, no, that's not the calling. When I first got here, you know what? The church wanted us to, oh, let's do this and let's do that and let's do this and let's all this stuff. You know what? But I knew in my spirit, I'd listened to good leaders who says, you know what? If you're doing all this stuff, you won't do anything with excellence. And here's what I told the leadership of the church. Here's a thought. Can we just have good, dynamic Sunday services? I knew if we just did that well, that would reach our community in a great, that would benefit our community. That we could have, watch, a beautiful facility, a nice, clean, modern facility that people could come and they could drop off their kids and they could be ministered to while we minister to you. And let's do it with not a cheesy worship band. Let's do it with a, you know, I don't need to be up here with a banjo and, you know, doing all this all by myself. No, let's have different people come up and help us. Help me. Amen. Is that not right? But if we can just do that with excellence, man, that'll be important. So you got to be important. You got to recognize good leadership. You can't let people pull you all over the place. That you're doing this and doing that and you're frazzled. You're trying to make everyone happy. But listen to me. But you've got to have an openness to listen to people. You've got to have a humility to say, hey, Joel, what do you think? Hey, Shayla, what do you think? Hey, Brian, Arlene, what do you think about this? Hey, George, what do you think? I do this all the time. And I get so many great ideas and plans for the church as far as where we should go. Because you know what? It's like a puzzle piece. You know what? Tamara and I have some pieces, but good leadership recognizes other people have some good leadership. Right. Amen. Amen? Amen? Does this make sense? And then finally, this is my last thing. I'll give you another chance. This is my last thing. That was meteoric. This is my last thing. All right, that's good. That's good. Okay. Listen, good leaders understand this. They understand how junk comes into their life. And they make a plan to make sure that junk doesn't come into your life. What do I mean by that? Here's what the Bible says. It says, to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. In other words, your life is only going to be as good as your heart is. And your heart could be corrupted by, how many know how your heart gets corrupted? How many know what connects the heart? There's two ways stuff comes into your heart. Do you know the two ways? Say your eyes and your ears. So good leaders don't just submit themselves to any junk. Amen. My best friends, you know what? All my best friends are, you know what, are glass half full kind of guys. All of them. Why? Because because I understand I have to protect my heart. For out of my heart is going to flow how successful and how thriving I'm going to do in life. And so I'm going to protect my heart. I'm not going to allow you. Remember last week? We said, hey, don't let these people throw the trash in your house. Okay, that's what it's talking about. You can't just let somebody open their, trash in your house. No, you have to protect your heart. And good leaders will protect their eyes and their ears. How many know there's a lot of junk you can see? You know what? I used to listen to all kinds of news, you know what I mean? And I recognized that it just was such a waste of time. Let me tell you what most of the news programs do now. They get two people who don't like each other to talk for like a minute and a half. They won't give them any time to talk. Ooh, I'd love to talk longer, but you know, we got to, you know, the segment's up. So this guy gets, I trip out sometimes when, you know what, when they get four people, because then it's like even more stupid. I just think, oh, okay, I'm not going to let you talk. Oh, no, you talked enough. Oh, I'm going to invite you on to tell everybody all the wisdom you have, but you're going to talk for 30 seconds. I'm going to say, now shut up. And okay, now you talk for 30 seconds. No, not 30 seconds, 15 seconds. No, now you shut up. Oh, now you talk. Now you shut up. And so you get done, and all you had was four people, you know, who really didn't have a chance to say anything, you know what, and but they, you know what, just got in a big argument. Ooh, now let's go to our next section. Guess what your next section is? It's another conversation of something else, and guess what? I got four more people who I'm not going to let them talk either. And you're going to listen to an hour of that. And then after that, you'll listen to another hour of the next program. Then after that, you'll listen to another hour, and then you'll think how enlightened you are. And you didn't get enlightened, you got in darkened, amen? Here, let me give you a much better suggestion. And I'm not saying that you don't need to be connected to the world. But I'm saying, you know what, you can listen to something. It's called the radio, and it's really cool because on the radio, sometimes they give people longer than 30 seconds to talk. Very helpful. But no matter what you're listening to and what you're watching, you've got to protect your heart, because it's out of your heart that things are going to flow. Amen. How many hearing God that we need to step up or call it the leadership? How many hearing that God say that? Now, I'm going to dismiss you in a little bit, I promise. But maybe you're here and maybe you haven't accepted Jesus in your heart. Listen, you're not here on accident. You're here on purpose. And with every head bowed and every eyes closed, with nobody looking around, because this really doesn't have to do with anybody except you and God. If you want to accept Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. And I'm going to ask Jesus to come in your heart. Yes, who else? Thank you. Who else? Who else? Yes, thank you. You can put your hands down. Who else? Can we say this together? Jesus, come in my heart. Change me. From the inside out, I need help. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to help me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, for taking all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we believe if you said that, that Jesus came in your heart. And Jesus will start to change you from the inside out. Find a good Bible-believing church. Let me think if I can think of one. Oh, yeah. Hope Community Church. But very possibly, this is your church. And start to come on Sunday and Wednesday. Give us a year and see if 1 year your life isn't radically better. Radically better. Now, for some of you, God spoke to you during the preaching. You're already Christian, but God spoke to you. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, there's some things that God spoke to me as far as making some adjustments in my life that I will make immediately. If that's you, raise up your hand high. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Father, you see these hands up. Father, we thank you for you speaking to us. Help us, whatever, any of these seven things, any of those apply, we need your help. We're asking for your help. I thank you that these people have their hands straight up in the air. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Amen.